His real name was not Joe Friday, nor was it Pat, Jeff, Pete, Buzzsaw Louie, or even Jack. He was born John Randolph Webb on April 2, 1920 in Santa Monica, California, with a special gift that would be discovered later on and enjoyed for many years. One of the West Coast's most consistent and sought-after radio actors of that age, Mr. Webb could do many things, and do them well. Since his illustrious career is longer than my left leg, we shall focus mainly on his old-time radio accomplishments, where Jack, the name he went by, left his legacy. Jack Webb served in World War II and started out in radio as a disc jockey before hosting and acting in hundreds of old-time radio shows. He had talent to be reckoned with, and far-off dreams of directing that eventually came to fruition in his well-decorated career. His pedigree goes way back to the golden age of radio, where it made its permanent gold mark before moving on to the medium that seemed to rudely push radio aside, namely television. Between radio shows, he acted in old movies and eventually starred as Joe Friday on the famous television version of Dragnet. Webb ran the gamut of acting, producing, and even directing, fulfilling his dreams of old. The spring of 1946 saw him doing several different shows from the West Coast on ABC. One of these was a comedy variety program called The Jack Webb Show. Some people may not readily associate him with a funny show, but this one had all the makings of a silly stage cast, with a closing signature by Webb. Tonight's egg was laid on the vocal side by Clancy Hayes and Nora McNamara. John Galbraith blew the lines, and Dick Breen glued the joints together. Dunnings. The only apparent surviving episodes are full of fun and worth the listen. About the same time, we can hear him with another type of script and on another stage, a stage with drama all over it. The show was a dramatic anthology called Spotlight Playhouse, and unfortunately has only a couple of episodes in circulation. Both of these shows featured music and score by Phil Bouvereau. Another ABC drama called Are These Our Children? Was originated out of San Francisco, aired an episode in November 1946 named Edith Hayes, which had the expertise of Mr. Webb in the credits. Before these shows, though, we can hear Jack showcase his talents in a documentary drama called One Out of Seven. Each story for the show was chosen from the actual news that happened the past week. Hence, one story from the past 7 days was picked. The scripts were fleshed out by James Edward Mosier. This particular program stood up for what was right and hailed a voice that would not stand for racial prejudice. Jack Webb's genius was proven as he played all roles and characters for this show and seemed to do so with such effortless ease. Jack Webb would be pro early on in his career. There were other shows that capitalized on Jack Webb's ability in his early years in radio. The Red Cross had a syndicated 15-minute drama called Errand of Mercy that ran in the 1948-49 time frame with Jack in the lineup. At the same time, the Treasury Department ran a syndicated show called Guest Star that penciled Jack in a handful of roles. On at least one occasion, we see the episode date of these two shows with Jack's name in the credits on the same exact day. Jack soon became Pat Novak for Hire, which ran on the West Coast only, circa 1946-47 on ABC. This was a crime drama that slapped a persona on Webb that would follow him for a long time in radio. He was a tough, clever, quick-witted detective full of one-liners. You have to love this guy. Just listening to him think will bring many laughs and much enjoyment. Even when a gun is pointed at him, the calm one-liners flow like a river after a big rain. Jack left the show and moved south, but since Pat Novak was so popular, the network recast that show and kept it on with a new lead and scriptwriter. The show resurfaced in February 1949, nationwide, with Webb back in old form. After Jack left San Francisco for Hollywood, a new detective adventure show began called Johnny Madero, Pier 23, which ran on Mutual from April through September 1947. This show is entertaining and reminds me of Philip Marlowe in its descriptive writing style. Among the many quips you will hear Johnny say are, "You're so scary, I'll bet your dandruff stands on end." "You couldn't clear your throat in an empty tunnel." "Some days, you're not going to make out better than an ice cube at a cocktail party." And breaking more records than a disc jockey with a hangover. This show had Gail Gordon and William Conrad in it, with a familiar name writing the scripts, Richard Breen. Richard and Jack had worked together on most of his shows to this point. They, Breen and Webb, wanted to continue with Pat Novak, but it was being carried on up north by Ben Morris and Gil Dowd, so apparently, as the story goes, they started the Johnny Madero Pier 23 show in the same spirit as Novak, from Dunning. Jack starred in many popular mystery and drama series like Escape, Suspense, The Whistler, Murder and Mr. Malone, and Nightbeat, among others. He was a busy guy that anyone would want on their cast. By 1948, you could see his name in the credits on The New Adventures of Michael Shane before his debut as Jeff Regan Investigator. By the time Regan aired, Jack Webb had a following of people who wanted to hear him on the air again. The show was Webb's third detective show before Dragnet's creation and had a lot going for it from the get-go. Even though the show was different from Webb's previous detective characters, it did have a very prolific scriptwriter in E. Jack Newman and ran on CBS. In 1948, he starred in a movie called He Walked by Night, playing a crime lab police officer. It was on that set he met Sergeant Marty Wynn of the Los Angeles Police Department, who happened to be the film's technical advisor. As they discussed various aspects of investigative procedure and melodrama, the idea for Dragnet was born in the head of Jack Webb. He thought about creating the show with realism at the core, and the stories to be authentic in every sense, using genuine police files. At that point, Jack began hanging out with the police, attending classes at the police academy, and riding along with them on calls. Dragnet began its steady march of the airwaves in June of 1949 and ran until February 1957. This would be Webb's magnum opus in radio and followed into more than one television series. Jack Webb played Detective Sergeant Joe Friday of the Los Angeles Police Department and also directed the series. When the time came to pitch the show to NBC, they were unimpressed, thinking it would be just another cop show, Dunning. Webb went to the LA police for help. He pitched the idea to them as well, wanting the series to be real and from authentic files, with the names changed, of course. Jack was a detailed professional and wanting nothing less than perfection on this one. The police approved, and the show was successful beyond any other detective show in history. It won the coveted Edgar Award for Best Drama 2 years in a row, 1951 and 52, by the Mystery Writers of America, and would forever be a show to be remembered. No other old-time radio show could share the same repeat-winning credits as this awarded program did. 2 years after Dragnet became a hit, Richard Breen created a new show called Pete Kelly's Blues with Jack as the lead, and it ran for 12 weeks on NBC. The show was set in the Roaring Twenties and featured Jack Webb as a cornet player in a speakeasy in Kansas City. The writing was similar to his old detective characters in some ways, as he thinks much the same way, and the language in his head sounds oh so familiar. The setting and the music theme seemed to be its biggest charm, and even led to a film of the same name in 1955, played by, you guessed it, Jack Webb. Fortunately, most of this show's run has been saved and is very enjoyable. For the old-time radio researchers, I'm Fred Bertelson, your announcer.